Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, April the 30th, 123rd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon from the friendly city, coming up to the windy borough.
It's a little windier up here today.
Yeah, well, you just got to spend a little bit more time on the river.
Yeah.
Yeah, fishing.
It's been a very nice sunny day in Fortuna all morning, though.
Regan Candelaria is alongside, spinning his yarn just like anybody would ever think that he could. This afternoon, we got a couple of different things to kick around. Train track clearing. I bet you didn't think that there was any need to do that. Apparently, there's a big need, and we'll find out about that and other things going on. He's got, well, geez, now, where did you go for lunch to put all this writing down on a napkin?
I happened to be at the MAD Awards luncheon today, which was also interesting.
The MAD Award.
Mothers Against Drunk Driving. It's where they recognize officers for their great work.
It wasn't a McKinleyville thing.
No.
That really would have taken me out over the top if you were up there. We'll find out about some of the awards then also.
Sure.
And some of the other things going on in the sunny city when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say. It's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. Oh, I haven't introduced you to our new friend.
Who is our new friend?
See our new friend on the wall there?
The clock?
The big clock.
Nice.
Yeah, so you don't have to strain yourself.
Yes.
They really messed up Quimby and a couple of the other guys. They keep doing this, looking at the wall and back and forth. So, no excuses now, buddy.
I can see the digital clock right there.
Oh, and your eyesight's that good. You can tell it's digital, not a circular.
Well, it's about a 50-point, you know,
yeah,
font.
I know.
So.
There's reason behind our madness. Our quote this afternoon. Well, it's an Arab saying.
Okay.
All right, we'll go with it. It's better to have a lion at the head of an army of sheep than a sheep at the head of an army of lions.
Makes sense.
Yeah. A little something for you there.
Yeah.
You can figure out which one.
Which one
more appropriate for the moment, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, boy, I almost feel like I ought to apologize not thinking MAD. When you said MAD, I McKinleyville services it? No. I went immediately to McKinleyville instead of the Mothers Against
Driving. Well, they're topical right now, yeah.
So what was the event that you got to attend?
Today was the awards celebration for all of the officers that do great work to remove, impaired drivers and particularly people that might be driving under the influence from the roads. And, it was a great event today, sponsored by a couple different organizations, one of which is the California Office of Traffic Safety, who also funds a local grant for the county of Humboldt that the city of Fortuna was successful in writing a grant and bringing these dollars to the county. We're the administrating organization for the AVOID program, which is a cooperative effort amongst all the different, public safety organizations to go out and do traffic enforcement and do a lot of education and training, trying to keep people and divert them from getting in trouble and driving impaired. And it's been pretty successful so far.
Do you remember what AVOID means?
It's actually...
It's got to be.
It's a difficult one. It's really avoid getting thrown in jail. And this is a...
Oh, that fits nice.
It's a statewide program. I believe here it's called Avoid the Seven. And
now I recognize it. The Seven, yeah. Okay.
That's right. And so we're trying to educate people on how to avoid being caught by the seven police enforcement agencies and ending up in jail. Don't drive distracted. Don't drive impaired. And we're out there sharing that message and trying to keep the streets safer, and I know that it's been successful.
Don't swerve erratically to keep the pine needles off the road.
off the road.
That's another one, yeah.
That could be dangerous.
Well, I do that with a lawnmower on the sidewalk, I figured somebody might be doing that with their ring.
I haven't seen any reports of that,
okay.
But we'll keep our eyes open.
Was there anything about the awards presentation that jumped out and grabbed you?
Well, You know, not particularly. I've been to a couple of these, and it's just great to see how focused a lot of the officers are on this task, you know, keeping the road safer. Some of the numbers, you know, one of the gentlemen that won the, I guess, the largest award had 54 arrests during the term. That means that there's 54 people that, you know, were off the roads and weren't going to actually cause an accident and maybe something worse during that time. And probably changes their regular operation of their car a little bit. And the thing that did jump out to me was one of the things that one of the presenters said was that it's not just that one person. It's pretty much everybody else that's driving down the road and sees that car stopped and thinks, oh, you know, what did they get pulled over for? Maybe I should pay attention and focus on what I should be doing properly.
Slowing down a little bit.
Slowing down, making sure that you're not drinking and then operating the vehicle and, you know, anything else, not texting, all of that.
I wonder how commonplace drinking and driving is. I mean, we've heard about it for 30, 40 years now. Mm-hmm. Don't drink and drive. I wonder what percentage now, if somebody in the rig are using a designated driver,
mm-hmm.
or instead of having that third, fourth, and fifth, now you're having one.
I think it's really changed and improved, and really our police chief, Bill Duberstein, would really be a great person to talk to because I know we have a lot of those stats through this program, and that's one of the things that we try to track is what improvements we're making as a society. You know, really the numbers that we use are reduction in traffic accidents, reduction in the numbers of, you know, DUI arrests that we make. And so it's kind of a weird thing. You're trying to make sure you have enforcement and you need to show numbers, but we see a lot of success when we go out and we do the, you know, the traffic stops, the checkpoints, and we're not finding people that are impaired. That's great news.
You know, it's kind of weird chasing what isn't.
Yeah.
Rather than finding something that is.
Right.
So you just didn't bring Bill because you didn't think us worthy of hearing of him?
No, I'd love to have you invite Bill sometime.
Well, you got carte blanche every month.
All right. Well, I'll bring somebody along with me next time.
If he's willing to give you a drive up.
Well, you might help me to be on time. But
there are side benefits to it as well.
Yeah.
Was it well attended?
The room was full. It was held, again, this was the first time I believe that it was held in Fortuna, sponsored at our River Lodge, which is an excellent facility. You know, great location. They do good things there. And the whole room was filled. All of the different departments show up. The majority of their, you know, brass type people show up. And it's a, you know, state recognized program. So it's really an honor to be recognized for your efforts in this area.
KINS, News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Reagan Candelaria.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. For years, the Eel River was the state's second largest source of steelhead and third largest of salmon. A UC Davis study estimates it once produced more than 1 million fish annually. This has been replaced by unpredictability. Last year saw a good salmon run, but some years it is very small. Several causes are cited, but all agree the Eel River ecosystem has been degraded. Now a task force of volunteers has come together to pinpoint the reasons and work to restore the watershed. The Eel River Task Force consists of public agencies, Indian tribes, conservation organizations, and others committed to establishing a scientific baseline of the causes of the decline and what might be done to reverse it. The members agree, no finger-pointing. A plan of solutions must fulfill legal responsibilities to protect endangered species while also respecting private property rights. It will be a big job, but a healthy Eel River is worthwhile for all Humboldt County. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the betterment of our community.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Reagan Candelaria and Sunny Fortuna.
Thank you very much.
Reagan, looking at some of the different challenges that are there, now, I would imagine most folks haven't blinked and realize it's almost been a year for you that you're coming up on that. You mentioned MAD, first go around. How, I guess I'll use the term functional, do you see the promotion of the city, whether it's Main Street, whether it's the Chamber, whether it's this district, that organization, is there a unifying presence?
Well, I didn't think much about that concept before we started talking today, but I would say from my perspective, I would like to see more coordinated efforts. I don't know that we have, you know, somebody or some organization that's kind of taking the lead, you know, to promote the county. We do have a very active group in Fortuna, which is our Chamber of Commerce, and they have a subcommittee, the Tourism Committee, that really is doing a lot of that. And they cooperate a lot with, you know, myself, with the city, to try and, you know, contribute to what they're doing and try and enhance it. Also, our Business Improvement District, they also work hand in hand with the Chamber. And so there's a pretty good effort going on locally, like just within Fortuna, but it really needs to be countywide.
You have the Visitors Bureau that's out doing what they're doing, but it's always interesting for me that depending on who or what subgroup you're talking to, they have various impressions of various communities. Okay, if it's the soccer families, you guys are probably right on. Yeah, you guys and the stuff out in Cutting. Rah, 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 rah. If it's baseball, different story. If it's football, if it's basketball, if it's softball, if it's parades, if it's FFA, you know, everybody's got their own various perspectives.
Yeah.
And then it's always been curious to me that the city jurisdiction or the county jurisdiction doesn't do that themselves, rather than allowing another entity to do it, simply because, for at least from my perspective, how your cops interact with a tourist probably says a whole lot more to that visitor about what our community is like than you bopping down the sidewalk or me and saying, hi, how you doing, and continuing on doing whatever it is that we're doing. So that just that lack of holding hands is just always kind of been curious. And same thing with the parks folks and the roads folks and everybody else that's around.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept. I mean, we always try to be, you know, our namesake, the friendly city, of course. So, you know, staff, you know, do their best for customer service and outreach type of things, but it's not really a directive. And we don't have, you know, and most cities don't have this type of position any longer where you have like a public information officer or somebody that's in a economic development or marketing department. Those things tend to get cut out of tight budgets. And so I think a lot of cities have lost that. You know, or lost that cooperative type of, you know, hey, you know, police chief, here's what we're working on this month, or here's what's coming up over the next 3 months. You know, recreation department, you know, here's what the rodeo's coming up, and here's what we want to make sure people are aware of. You know, those types of things, that type of coordination is hard to come by because it's just not there with a position or a title or a responsibility anymore.
You mentioned economic development. Got my attention.
Okay.
To me, I can't see how a city county doesn't have an economic development director position. Who's out there trying to attract businesses? Who's out there trying to make the existing businesses better? You know, chambers tend to be more internally focused to the membership.
That's true.
Rather than, okay, here's Fortuna. We don't have a car dealership here or a brand, or we don't have this kind of retailer or that retailer, let's go out and get one and actively go out and pursue a niche where chambers, that's really not their function?
No, it's really not. They're more of that promotional area, but not, I wouldn't say specifically doing, you know, business attraction or even business retention. They do business retention as kind of a byproduct of what they do. But really, without redevelopment, that's where a lot of economic development activities were focused, because they had resources or economic development tools that they could provide to a prospective business. If you're targeting something, if you're targeting a specific industry, if you need to create infrastructure that will then attract that particular, you know, segment of business, whether you're going after professional or if you want, you know, industrial jobs or, you know, whatever, you need to set that up in your community and make it a viable option for them.
Well, and that's like what the mill site, you know, you got it. It's kind of plopped in the middle of town there. It would drive me bonkers if I was associated with the city, whether in your chair or another chair, not to have somebody going out there and actively trying to hustle that site, even if you don't own it, just because the sheer opportunity and what the positive impact could be to the city within 6 months of somebody starting to work on that site. jobs, retail. Yeah.
That is games a key, and match. That is a key location in Fortuna, obviously, and it's been the point of much discussion of our city council and staff. But you know, the ownership aspect that you just mentioned is a very key component. As a city, we would love to be able to create a specific plan and come up with some development standards or some development opportunities, basically, of here's what infrastructure needs to be there and needs to be in place, because right now it's set up for a mill. That's the capacity right now, but unless that owner wants to say, yes, I want to start, or I'm going to be promoting my site for X, Y, or Z, you know, and if the city spends a lot of wheels and dollars to create a plan that says, okay, well, here's how you do a commercial shopping center. You know, here's the infrastructure needed. And then he says, yeah, you know what? I'm going to sell it to, who knows what? I'm going to sell it to Caltrans and I'm going to let them, you know, park their cars there and do their maintenance from there. Or, you know, how much time did we waste? You know, if he decides I'm going to give it to, you know, a conservancy or something and, you know, leave it for open space, why are we building roads or putting in plans for, you know, storm drains and sewer capacity? So it's tough. You know, you need to work cooperatively.
It's 3:30.
Decade of Difference presents a brand new competition, Innovate, a business challenge opportunity to pitch your creative idea. First step, upload a 60 to 90 second elevator pitch highlighting your business venture idea by March 29th. 40 finalists will be selected to move on to phase two. But don't wait. First 100 entries receive a free iTunes gift card. To upload your video and get more information, visit decadeofdifference.org. A grand prize of up to $2,500 will be awarded. Don't wait. Innovate.
Right. That's why. That's exactly why.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time, 3:35. Back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fortuna City Manager Regan Candelaria. Regan, as you're looking at the economy, the economic environment in Fortuna, you feel comfortable with where things are? Are you excited about what's going on? Are there some things that if you did have this economic development position and filled, that it would be, you'd be able to take on a couple of things that are opportunities, but perhaps people aren't recognizing them for what they are?
I think there's some definite potential in Fortuna. You mentioned earlier how long I've been here. It's really only been 6 months, almost seven now. But I've seen a lot of interest, things that I've been involved with. There's always been people there, you know, wanting to be involved and you know, look at the opportunities. We've had our share of, you know, vacancies downtown and in other locations, but I think that's consistent with the economy the way it is. But despite that, I still get inquiries and I still get responses. I think I was here when I was here the last time we talked about the RFP that we put out to try and get a new operator in the old Parlato's Curly's building there.
You get any response on that one?
We did. We got five formal proposals and we've got probably another six or seven inquiries. And since that process closed, I've had another three inquiries coming in saying, hey, did that, you know, what's going on with that? Can I put in something? And so it's actually looking pretty good from that perspective.
When are we going to hear something about it?
I hope Monday night at my council meeting.
Fair enough. So yeah. Hopefully Tuesday.
Yes.
We'll know a little something.
Yep.
Unless, of course, I can apply my persuasive tactics after the show.
I have to leave immediately after the interview.
In fact, about
appointment.
30 seconds before the end of the show, I'm out of here. Yeah.
So, yeah, but it's I'm seeing a lot of interest and a lot of inquiries.
The Chamber of Commerce, are they sensing that there is some excitement going on also?
I think that they are. Just last evening, they held their annual dinner. Which was, you know, very well attended. They filled up the River Lodge there and everybody seemed to have a really good time and it was a positive vibe. You know, one of the things that they were really focusing on was the concept of collaboration and how the council is working with other organizations in town. You know, they're, you know, have a lot of new activities going on through their tourism committee. And one of the things that they did last night was graduate their second group of leaders from what they're calling the Fortuna Leadership Program, which is a common, you know, Chamber of Commerce activity where they try and have an educational program for people in the community. And there's a lot of nice, young, energetic people involved with that program. A lot of them, you can see them through the ambassadors of the chamber program. So, you know, it's kind of nice that there's a new, younger set that's taken action in Fortuna through the chamber.
Pushing the old guard out?
I don't know about that. I would not say that.
Just checking in. That's all. That's all.
But it's nice to have that fresh young blood that's really active. And that was some of the things that I think other people commented on about last night's annual event.
As you look at Fortuna getting ready for summertime, are you ready? I know it's always sunny, summer, Fortuna. Okay. As the calendar changes to another month.
Well, we're definitely looking forward to summer. Again, last night at the annual Chamber of Commerce event, the new artwork for the rodeo that's going to be the promotional piece for the rodeo was unveiled. So that kind of got people excited about summer a little bit, upcoming activities.
They didn't have a big, tall white guy upside down over a bull, right?
I know it was
good.
It was actually a depiction of last year's, I guess, overall winner of a couple of different categories of the rodeo.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Yeah. It's nice to memorialize that kind of winning.
Yes.
Or at least not getting hurt too badly. With the small town and the main street, the configuration, the formalness of the layout of Fortuna, how problematic is it to have events like Rodeo Week or Apple Harvest or the Autorama when the main drag is really locked up? And I mean, it's great buzz, great fun, great excitement. But as far as the workings of the city during a prolonged period like that, is it much of an issue?
I thought it would be, coming into this county as a new person, obviously. But staff have been doing it for so long. There's so much history with the these events that you're talking about, the rodeo and Auto Expo, and now the Apple Harvest, that we're kind of good at doing it. And they understand what it takes. And the city has played a large role in those events over the years. And so, our staff, basically in June and July, we kind of know what the primary goal is and what needs to happen. And I think in terms of the community, they look forward to these events and they know that it's a big thing for the community. And so if, Main Street's closed for a few hours here and there, during Rodeo Week and during the following Auto Expo, I think they're accustomed to dealing with it and how to get around it, and just, they're participatory. So it's, it's not really a pain. It's more of, yes, great, something, exciting for our community.
KINS. Answered like a native. KINS News and Information Times 341. We'll be back with more from Reagan Candelaria.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 344. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Reagan Candelaria. Reagan, some of the different challenges that are out there certainly are time-based. Everybody wants a piece of you. You see your smiling face, et cetera, et cetera.
I hope to be smiling.
Yeah. We oftentimes talk about financial budget. What about time budget?
Ouch. Time budgets. I'm a real stickler for my calendar, and if you ask my staff, they're going to tell you that I'm crazy about it. But time is a very precious commodity. And sometimes, obviously, there's never enough of it. But keeping track of it and being responsible, being here before 3 o'clock to do my interview is important.
Stunning is, yeah.
If you ask that question, it's funny because my staff was just banging on my door before. They said, "You told us to tell you to leave at 2:15, and it's like I'm on a phone call with some other business. And so, yeah, it's tough. Projects take a long time, and government things take, sometimes years to get accomplished. We just did a ribbon cutting for the Danco project, affordable housing up on Ross Hill Road, where it's now called Church Hill Townhomes. Excellent project. It was 2008 was the disposition and development agreement date, that got that project started for the city on behalf of our former redevelopment agency. So time is very precious.
Slips away a little bit.
Yeah.
Or runs away is what I'm finding.
Yes.
It's not slipping. It's running real hard.
It's got track shoes on.
The other obviously precious commodity is financial. you mentioned with the old Parlatos,
mm-hmm.
possibly having somebody there, positive impact, at least having somebody at the gate smiling in a nice facility. The budget itself, is there anything? I know the state's playing its games. Do you have a sense of where you are better than last month?
It's a little better than last month, obviously. We've been working on some organizational cuts and, you know, operational cuts, not organizational cuts yet. But, you know, we may be proposing a few of those to our city council. And we're also looking at the potential for, you know, revenue enhancements that we may be able to do over the next couple of years. Nothing immediate, but, you know, we got to look at both sides to try and make a good balanced budget. You know, we'll probably be presenting a couple of options to our council next month. So, you know, not a lot of new data right now, but we're definitely working on that very diligently.
Are you excited about the next year?
I am. You know, there's been a lot of good things that have started. I've been, you know, able to develop relationships with my staff, and we've put together a list of objectives and things that we want to try and do over the next year. Our capital improvement program is looking good. We got that all updated. I don't think the city was very focused on that last year. A lot of things just got carried forward and pushed forward and, you know, held back for budget constraints. But a lot of them need to get going, and, you know, so we're actually looking forward to that.
Looking forward?
Yes, definitely. There's a few that are in play right now. A couple that just were completed, like our Stewart Tank project. We're planning a ribbon cutting for that, I believe, on Monday the 20th.
Well, why don't you have a foot washing or, you know, bring in one of the wading pools and everybody jumps in or something like that?
I don't think we're going to be able to pass our tests if we do that. But that we're looking forward to that event. It's a big project for the city that we think came out very well, and, you know, we want to let people know about it.
Tours?
Yes. Not a lot to tour. Can't get in the tank anymore now that it's
there
built.
There it is. Okay. Yes. Ooh. Oh, okay. There you are.
But we can provide some statistics and what it accomplishes for the city. And we've got a little, you know, PowerPoint presentation in the works that will show that timeline of what it took to get it done and then the construction period. And
does it build in a lot of capacity, or is it more surety of what you do have?
It's both. It actually doubles capacity. We went from about 1 million gallons per day to a 2 million gallon tank. And we've also totally 100% improved our fire flow capacity. So the, you know, our volunteer fire department is very happy now that they've got that up there and it's in play, and they've got, you know, a lot more confidence when they're out fighting the fire.
If you had your druthers and you had one thing for Fortuna the remainder of this calendar year, other than the long-term agreement with a wonderfully entertaining and highly energetic and knowledgeable city manager. See, I read that one without even stumbling, didn't I?
Wow, thank you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you wrote it in big point so I could read it easy. What would be your one wish for the city?
I've got probably 50 wishes for the city, but in terms of keeping it short and keeping it one, would probably making some headway in terms of a plan for the Mill District. I think that's something that will make everybody happy and will have a lot of long-term ramifications to the positive benefit of the community.
And you can see it from the highway, so it'll be positive for anybody coming through, too.
Yes, it's all going to be a draw to the city as well.
Well, your answer was pretty good, so I'll let that one slide.
Yes.
Hey, look, 2 seconds early.
Nice.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Reagan Candelaria. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out making a good day. Hug somebody you love. See you tomorrow.